You've heard the stats. The economy is booming, a soaring stock market, jobs added for 75 consecutive months. Our next guest says when looking ahead and wondering if that boom will continue in 2018, one thing we need to think about is inflation. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York as always. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
And you write in your piece that if the economy continues to do well, we might see higher inflation. Okay, you also write a little bit of inflation is not a disaster, but people tend to think inflation, things cost more. My buying dollar goes, you know, doesn't go as far. Remind us what inflation is and why it can be a good thing.
Inflation is just prices going up and down. And a little bit of inflation is like yeast in bread. Both too little and too much ruins the loaf, but a little of it makes the dough rise. The right amount of inflation, say between 2% or 3%, can push up wages, stimulate economic expansion. If you have a little bit of inflation, it encourages people to buy more stuff. And one of the reasons why the economy has felt so feeble in the last few years, with GDP growth being so weak, has been that inflation has been too low. It's not deflation. It's not like prices are falling constantly all over the place. It's just really low inflation. And to torture the bread metaphor maybe one more time, if the dough isn't rising, that's a bad thing. You should want a challah economy rather than a matzah economy. Economy with a little bit of a bite to it, not too much of that dry crunch. And I say this as a loving Jew myself.
Okay. Well, something went by kind of fast there because you tied wages to inflation. And you remind us that when people start paying people a little bit more, then they raise their prices a little bit more for their products because they're paying people more. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Yes, you nailed it. Absolutely. That is a good thing. That's why you don't want the opposite. The opposite is deflation. And in a deflationary spiral, you tend to have people holding on to their money, hoarding their money, not spending things. That means you have less growth. That means there are fewer people in restaurants and fewer people dropping off their stuff at the dry cleaner. A little bit of inflation stimulates economic activity, and that stimulates demand, and that gets a more virtuous cycle flowing.
Well, you can kind of manipulate inflation and costs. And the Federal Reserve has had a target. You said 2%, 2 to 3 was the preferred target, but they've missed the mark. Why?
Yeah, there are a couple reasons. I'll quickly list four. First, the Great Recession was a terrible, deep recession where families lost their jobs, housing values plummeted, they spent less. That's definitely contributed to lower overall growth and low inflation. Second, we, like every other country in the world that's an advanced economy, we're getting older, and aging populations tend to restrain economic growth a bit because pensioners, by definition, don't work very much. Mm-hmm. Third, because of the internet and all the telecommunications technology that's coming around, you tend to have lower prices. Uber tends to make urban transit cheaper. Amazon and Walmart tend to hold down retail prices, so you have lower inflation there.
I just want to stop you there for one second because that was fascinating to me because we have this new economy that's doing a lot of things on the cheap. That's keeping this natural kind of inflation of costs down.
Yes, it is. I mean, the cliche here, but the useful cliche is imagine all of the various equipment that you would have to buy from Radio Shack in order to squeeze into the brick that we now call an iPhone. Mm-hmm. It would cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for an instrument that now you can buy for a couple hundred dollars. So technically, right there, you could say that the iPhone, Apple, is a deflationary product. You know, it's not maybe the most useful way to think about all the various economic activity that can be unleashed by the iPhone, but the instrument itself, you could argue, is deflationary. And a lot of IT, a lot of internet and modern tech is indeed holding down prices. And while, of course, there are good sides to that, you know, cheap toilet paper, you know, cheap stuff from Amazon and Walmart, there also is the side effect that lower prices overall, lower inflation, can potentially withhold a little bit of economic activity.
And by the way, some of the things that you see as you research this to prove this point of tying wage inflation and overall inflation, Cheesecake Factory can't keep its workers around without raising wages, but also prices. Another low-wage job, delivery drivers. It's in such high demand that it was the third most popular job listing on Monster.com in 2017. And if people are really competing for these low-wage workers, that's going to push up those wages and those prices will follow. Fascinating. But how does the tax cut, the Republican tax cut in about the minute we have, how does that play into this?
Well, the Republican tax cut is a really fascinating government experiment in a way. We've never had a multi-hundred-billion-dollar tax cut at 4% unemployment.
Pretty full.
8 or 9 years into a recovery. We've never tried anything like this. When we had similar unemployment in a similarly long economic expansion in the late 1990s, if you recall, Clinton was running a surplus. There wasn't a deficit. There was a surplus. The government was taking in more than it was spending. Now we're doing the opposite. And most economists do think that if you inject hundreds of billions of dollars into an economy that is growing, where unemployment is already low, where wage growth is just beginning to perk up, that you should have the beginning of that very phenomenon that we've been talking about, wage inflation.
Wage inflation tied to inflation. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. It's fascinating. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. Thanks as always, Derek.
Thank you.